Bibles up to Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. And the title I have today is Worshiping and Serving God. Leviticus chapter 10. Thank you, sir. And we're just going to look at the first two verses of this chapter. We're going to look at that and then we're going to get underway. It says, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them a censer and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and he devoured them, and they died before the Lord." Let us pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here this afternoon. Thank you for all those that are able to attend. I ask, Father, once again, that you'd have me to do a good work to edify these people, to lift them up, to just do a good work by them, Father, that they gain something from it. And Father, I ask that you'd be with those that are on the prayer list. We think of those that we love, Father, and we just ask that you'd be with them and heal them, touch them, Father. And Father, I ask once again, Father, that you'd use me to do a good work, that you keep me focused for the time allotted, and that you use me to help these people, Father. Father, we ask that you forgive our sins and go with us through the rest of this service in a special way. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. And both of these men thought they were worshiping and serving God. And that's what I want to discuss today, is what it is to truly worship God and serve Him. You notice the Bible doesn't say that they set out to disrespect the Lord. It doesn't say that, does it? They thought they were doing a good thing. But were they doing what the Lord commanded them to do? No, absolutely not. Their intentions, understand me clearly when I say this, their intentions were good. They had good intentions. Beloved, I've said this before, I'll say it again, hell is going to be full of sincere religious people. Hell is going to be full of sincere religious people that said they were Christian. But they didn't know God. They never knew Jesus. They never accepted Him as Savior. How many people can you think of whenever you... if you're like me, you try and witness to people, and almost always you get, "Well, I believe." "Well, I believe." Well, here's a newsflash. Your belief doesn't amount to anything. My belief doesn't amount to anything. What the Bible says, what God has commanded, that is where the weight lies. You're either in line with the Bible or you're out of line with the Bible. You're either in line with God's Word or you're out of line with God's Word. Both worship and service have to be done God's way. Not your way. If you're serving God, and I've talked to people before, they say, "Oh, I'm serving God in my own way." You're not serving God. No. You're serving yourself. Mm-hmm. "Well, I serve God my way." Well, how's that? "Well, I don't lie, and I donate so much of my paycheck, and I try and be good, and I try and keep the Ten Commandments, and on and on. And they try and justify themselves to you whenever, number one, it doesn't matter a whit whether you justify yourself to me or not. I'm not your judge nor your jury. Justify yourself before God. Would God be content with what you're saying that you do? Well, He should. Says who? What does the Bible have to say about it? Self-worship and self-service. I've known people. Well, I'll use this illustration. I worked in a trash company for a while. I worked there two times, as a matter of fact, and the fellow is a genuine, and the man that owns it, the people that own it are wonderful people, and if I had to have a job, I'd go back to them again. That's how much I think of them. I really do. They were good people to work for. They treated you like family. The point of all of this is that you could tell the trash man is invisible. And you could tell what people were by the way they treated the trash man. There were some people, and it was almost always backwards. The people that were more well-to-do, they made more mess and left more mess for you to have to clean up than the people that were poor. Whenever wintertime rolled around and it would be cold, you'd find people that didn't have anything to give. They slipped something. They would literally come and meet you outside with something. I said that to say this. They didn't do it to be seen. They did it because they wanted to help their fellow man. How about and we know the story of the Pharisee and the publican when he stood on the street corner and the Bible says he prayed thus with himself. You know, what does that say about worship to God? He prayed thus with himself. Beloved, we worship God properly when we do it both in the good times and the bad. That's one thing that you have to remember. Worshiping God is not easy whenever things are up. And Brother Beebe, I want to thank you. You just waited all over my message there a little bit ago. That was... Actually, that does. I think it does. But if you would turn with me to Job, and that's in the Old Testament, Brother Don. Oh, I didn't mark it, and I lost it. There it is, Job. Job chapter 1, the very first chapter of Job. Verses 20 and 22. Now this is, Job was a wealthy man. But then he lost everything. And you can read the whole chapter, I'm not going to for time's sake. But he lost everything except his wife. And his wife wasn't particularly a great help to him. If you remember, in his time of trouble, she said, why don't you just curse God and die? Anyhow, verse 20. When then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. To serve God properly, we must do the same. You know, a wise man or woman realizes that everything that they have was given to them by God. I see people so often, they talk about, and we're going to touch on tithing in a few minutes because I haven't stomped on anybody's toes real hard. But I've seen people before, they talk about giving the Lord's portion back. It's all God's. You're just holding it. The whole shebang belongs to God. All of it belongs to God. The fact that you have a job, you would not have a job had God not ordained that you would have that job. The fact that you have a house, you would not have a house had God not ordained that you have that house. The fact that you have a family would not be if God had not so laid it out that you would have a family. Every single thing, understand what I'm saying, every single thing, right down to the heartbeat in your chest and the breath in your lungs, is of God. Were he to withdraw his hand even a little bit, you would fall apart. Job lost everything. And Job worshiped. Could you go home today and find your house gone, your family gone, your bank account wiped out, and be here on Wednesday and worship? I mean, that's a steep question, but could you? Could you lose your children or your spouse and be here on Wednesday and worship? That's a hard one to swallow, isn't it? I know the missus and I were kind of joined at the hip if she ever stops cooking or stops going laundry or stops basically doing everything she does, I'm going to be sitting in a corner naked, cold, and hungry. And unmedicated. But I'm not stupid. I know that sooner or later one of us has to leave. Consider Jeremiah for a minute. Jeremiah preached for years. Did anybody ever listen to Jeremiah? Did anybody ever? And I think Jeremiah's reward was great. Whenever he passed away, I think his reward with our Father in heaven is great. But did Jeremiah ever see belief in Israel? Did he ever see repentance in Israel? But he did what the Lord wanted him to do, didn't he?
Amen.
Have you ever felt all alone? You feel like you're all alone? Well, if you're doing what God would have you to do, you have the full might and full authority of God behind you. If you're doing what the Lord would have you to do, you are not alone. The only time that anybody was ever left alone, so to speak, was in the person of Christ, whenever He was made sin for us. You know, hard times, beloved, they count as much or more than the easy times. The hard times, you struggle, you don't see a way out of it. You know, we were talking about the Red Sea this morning and the parting of the Red Sea. Can you imagine being halfway through that passageway and you can't see the seashore on either side, and there's a wall of water over yonder, and there's a wall of water over yonder, and you're in the middle of it? You know, it would have been hard for me to set foot in the sea. Just looking up at the water. Of course, you know, it had to be over their heads. Way over their heads. Beloved, it's easy to praise the Lord out of abundance and ease. Whenever things are going well, it's easy to praise God. It's easy to worship God. It's easy to shout hallelujah whenever things are going well. It's easy, very easy, to come to church whenever everything is going great, but how about whenever things stink? You know, you lay in bed, you're crying, I don't want to go, they're mean to me. And Elaine says, get up, you're the preacher, you have to go anyhow. I'm sorry, brother, I couldn't resist that. I could have resisted, but I didn't. You know, there are times that it's hard to praise God. There are times whenever it is hard to worship God. There are times whenever it's tempting to become bitter against the Lord. And I have seen people that are bitter. I have talked to people, and especially it comes with the loss of a loved one. More so than anything else I've ever seen. Well, God shouldn't have took her or him like that. He knew I needed them. Well, if God knew you needed them, you'd still have them. I've seen people become bitter about that. I've seen people become bitter about the way that things were done in their lives. They say, if it wasn't for this or if it wasn't for that or so-and-so, if they hadn't done this or hadn't done that, I'd be in a much better position. Give it to God. Walk away from it. Don't carry it with you. God ultimately takes care. You know, we were talking about this morning to stand still for the Lord and let the Lord fight our battles. You don't have to sit and fight. You don't have to sit and argue. You don't have to run into battle. You can, in fact, stand and wait on the Lord. And the Lord will always take care of you. As I said earlier, when we set out to serve and worship God, it has to be on His terms. And I'm going to get on an uncomfortable subject. Now, when I say this, bear in mind if there was anything wrong, it's Brother Don's part to address it. So this isn't me jumping up and down about you're not tithing or you're tithing too much or something like that. This is simply a good example. Okay? Where does the tithe go? More specifically, which church? The one you're a member of, excellent. We'll give you a star after class. It goes to the church you're a member of. I've seen people say, well, we don't go to church, so we're going to spend our tithe, we're going to give our tithes differently. No, you may be helping someone. Don't take me wrong. You may be helping someone. And that's admirable. It is not a tithe. The tithe is a tenth of what you make. And the tithe is a tenth of what you gross. If you get a paycheck, you know what I'm talking about. You've got the part before the government takes, before Uncle Sam gets his chunk out of it. That is what you tithe off of. Okay? That's how that works. And it goes to a church that you are a member of. And you are to be a member of a church. If you don't belong to a church, then you're to become a member of a church. God's promises were made. Christ's promise was made to the church. It was a church that Christ gave the commission to, wasn't it? It wasn't Peter. It wasn't any one of the other apostles. It was to the church. And it's through the church that God's work is carried out. Whenever I set out, whenever I go and fill in at another church, I don't go as a Mike Rogers ministry with a Greyhound bus with the big gold letters on the side of it and, oh, I could picture that. That'd be so sweet. Got a bedroom, got a gold-plated bathroom. I don't go as a Mike Rogers ministry. I go as what? A representative of this church. What I do in that church reflects upon this church. Whether I tell the truth or not reflects upon this church. And this church has a right, if I do misbehaving, this church has a right to call me back and say, excuse me, hand your papers over. I actually heard of that happening. I did not know it happened, but I heard one instance that it happened. I'm not going to name his name. He and I had a fine time on Facebook. This is inside. I'm going to chase this rabbit for a second. This particular fellow got in an argument with me trying to convince me that the earth was flat. I'm not lying. And he kept pulling out verse after verse after verse of Scripture, and he'd take them out of context to prove that the earth was flat. We all know that the earth is round. If the earth was flat, cats would have pushed everything off the edge of it by now. This fellow had his papers recalled. You can meet with God anywhere and you can pray anywhere, but beloved, God meets with you in a special way in church. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And I have a newsflash for a lot of people. The church doesn't have to meet just on Sunday or just on Wednesday. Have you ever noticed in the Bible there's no commandment when the church has to meet? They can meet every day, exactly. They can meet. The early church did meet every day. It's my understanding, as near as I can get from reading Scripture, the early church met every day. Would you come listen to Brother Don every day?
No.
Well, we joke about it, but seriously, would you come listen to Brother Don every day? Would you come listen to me every day? The early church, they listened. Beloved, serving God involves serving in the church. say, Mike, I don't follow you. Serving God involves serving in the church. Well, okay, I'm not set up to be a deacon. Well, nobody said you had to be a deacon. Nobody said you had to be a preacher. You know, you set a man aside to be a deacon, and you seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and eventually you have an ordination. And a preacher, God keeps, in my case, poking you till finally you listen. It just makes life so miserable you can't stand it. And that's, you either preach or you die. That's how that works. Say, Mike, how can I serve in the church? I'm not a Sunday school teacher. Well, let's just be blunt. The church doesn't clean itself, does it? Somebody cleans this church building. Somebody takes out the trash. The silverware and the dishes down at the fellowship hall, they don't wash themselves. Do they? You can come and support your pastor. Mike, I don't feel like I'm doing very much. If you're sitting there, trust me, I would rather preach to 200 than I would to 2. I will preach to 2 the same as 200. I'm not going to modify the message. I might modify the volume a little bit. But it is an encouragement. And Brother Don can back this up. It's an encouragement when you see the building full. You know, you walk in and you see two people, you sit there, and I have observed, I can empty a church out. There's one church that I fill in at every now and again, and they're there for me for the morning service, but buddy, by the afternoon time, I have thinned them out. Serving God is not something done on your own accord. Serving God involves serving in the church in some capacity. And that includes witnessing. And I know that gets on a lot of people's nerves and a lot of people's, it aggravates a lot of people. And a lot of people are scared to witness, but you don't have to be scared. You just, a lot of times I just literally, and people look at me and say, hey, do you have a minute for me to discuss our Lord and Savior, or my Lord and Savior? And of course they look at me like I'm nuts and say, well, sure. And I say, well, he died to save sinners. You're a sinner and I'm a sinner. Would you like to know more? Serving God involves going to God and saying what He wants. What He wants, not what you want, what He wants. And what you want and what He wants might be two very different things. You know, to paraphrase, what did Paul do when he was struck down on the road to Damascus? Well, he said, who is it? Lord. He knew already who it was. And he wanted to know, what would you have me to do? If you want to serve the Lord and you're unsure of what to do, ask Him what to do. And listen. I won't give you this word of encouragement. I spent several years miserable because God said go preach and I wouldn't listen. Worshiping God means setting aside all of the things for that time. You know, I touched on this the other Sunday when I was here. I had on steel-toed boots the other Sunday. That way I couldn't drop the hammer on my own toes. Worshiping God means setting aside all of the things for that time. What's on your mind at any given moment is what you've got in place of God. To worship God, your mind has to be on God. semi for a while. And there were several times because I like to chase the almighty dollar. The dollar was fun to chase. I made a few of them. But I was an outlaw trucker. And there were a few times that I do not remember how I made it from the yard to the house. I would wake up at the house and not have any recollection of pulling into the yard with the truck, getting in my vehicle, or driving home. That's dangerous. I should have been rested, and my mind should have been on what? The drive home. You should be rested, and your mind should be on God when you come to the house of the Lord. I know that it is hard to put aside the worries of the world. It's hard to set them down and walk away from them. But as Brother Denny said earlier, Jesus never said, let's go to the middle and sink. He said, let's go over to the other side. Your worries and your fears and your tribulations can all be set aside for a little bit, and you can contemplate the majesty and the wonder and the glory that is God. Worshiping God involves being present. Present. As I'm up here right now, I'm here. All of me is here. My mind isn't cast out. I'm not wandering about in my mind. Well, it's a large room, but I'm present. All of me is here. That's the only thing on my mind is getting this message out of my mouth on that paper to you the way it's supposed to be delivered. That's what's on my mind. This morning I sat there and I listened to Brother Don. And my memory's bad, but I still remember most of what he said this morning about our Lord and Savior and all those things that he went through. To worship God properly, you have to be present here and now. You can't let other things come in and get in the way. And I want to close with this. Well, these. I have 1, 2, 3, 4 closings. I'm not going to lie, I do. I have 4 of them here. 4 questions. How's your service to God? I didn't say shut your Bible. How's your service to God? Seriously, and I don't even know the answer to this question. This is between you and the Lord. How is your service life to God? Are you, as they say in the military, on duty? Or are you kind of slacking? How's your worship life? It's number 2. See, I can get through these pretty quick. How is your worship life? As you've been here today, have you listened to what God had to say today? Has God spoken to you today? Are they where they need to be? And beloved, most of all, that was the 3rd one. Most of all, beloved, what can you do to improve them? I want you to think about this. I don't want you to take this question in passing. I want you to chew on it over the next few days. What could you do to make it better? Is it something that you could do the night before? Could you sit down the night before and read a chapter or 2 out of your Bible? Or could you have a little bit of quiet time to pray with the Lord before services come? Is it something where you can literally pull in the parking lot or as you drive into church, you can literally just ask the Lord, Lord, would you please focus me today and help me take this in? What can you do to improve it? Because improving your worship life improves you. Improving your service to God, number 1, gains you reward in heaven. And number 2, contributes to your brothers and sisters' welfare. How, how can you improve them? What can you do to improve your life in those respects? How can you improve your worship life, and how can you best serve the Lord? What I want you this week, if you think about it and have time, ask the Lord how you can serve Him and have Him show you the way. He will. I can guarantee. And I want to close with that. Brother Don.